So, you're at church on Sunday morning, though. We're glad to see you. Happy Sunday morning to you, 10 o'clock service. Man, worship was awesome today. You know what makes a difference? It makes a difference when you have an amazing worship team, worship leader like we do, and we're so thankful for them. But it also makes a difference when everybody starts participating, singing, clapping, praying, connecting with God. It just, the atmosphere is so strong. So thank you for that. And I want that to continue into the sermon. And I cannot preach with this row empty right here. So we need some people ready to hear the word of God to come on down. Somebody that's ready. Oh, we got three people ready. All right. Welcome to the front row. Yeah. The beginning of this year, I made a decision. I will not preach without somebody sitting on this row right here. Yeah, come on now. Filling it up. That's right. Oh, hey, man. Okay, we're full. No, we got one more spot. Well, how about Thomas is lonely right over there? That's the front row. This is even better because you won't get spit on over there if you sit. Take out your little piece of paper that you were given when you got here. I wanted to make sure everybody had some notes to take. We're going to be going through the second chapter of Peter today. We're in a series called Different. And if you didn't get one of those pieces of papers and you would like one, raise your hand. Our ushers will pass them out right now. But we want you to have a chance to write something down because we're going chapter by chapter through the book of 1 Peter. And by the end of this month, you're going to have a really good grasp on the book. However, it's impossible for me to stand up here in just a few minutes and really go through the entire second chapter. So I encourage you to take the Bible out this week and read the second chapter of 1 Peter. It's a great, great book. There's only five chapters in the whole book. And so this may seem weird to you. You wouldn't do this with any other book. But I want to encourage you to read chapter 2 every day this week. And just let that be your devotional time with God. Or maybe just, if you don't read every day, just read chapter 2 a couple times this week. And just allow the Word of God to speak to you and digest it and receive God's Word. And every time you read it, different things will pop out. Take these notes that you've been given today and jot on them, take notes. And all of this process is going to help you grow in God, get to know Him better, be discipled, and start living as fully devoted followers of God. And that's important. We want to raise up a church. We want to be a church of people that are truly following after Jesus and what that means from the Bible and not just what it means in this culture. So when you go throughout the book of 1 Peter, you will see this different concept over and over and over. We're different. We're different people. If you follow Jesus, you're a different person. If you could imagine the river flowing rapidly down the mountain, and you've probably seen this on television or different documentaries, but the salmon are going upstream, and they jump up out of the water, and they're going up. That's kind of how we are as believers. We're going against the flow. Secular culture's going one way, and we as believers in Jesus, we parent differently. We are different kinds of spouses than the typical spouse in America. We spend our money differently. We are entertained differently. We respond to conflict differently than other people. Peter says that you're aliens in a foreign world. You are sojourners. You are different. You're weird, but that's a good weird. You're different, and you're becoming more and more like God. You don't belong in a broken world. You belong in a perfect world because Jesus has redeemed you and made you more and more like Him. Amen. Holy. Amen. Holy. So the people that this book was originally written to, or it's more like a letter than a book, First Peter was written by Peter to people that were very, very heavily persecuted around the year 60 to 65 AD. Nero was the emperor of Rome, and he was a horrible man. He killed people ruthlessly. He persecuted Christians. He burned them. He tortured them. Awful, awful things. And he's telling them, these things are going to happen to you, and there's going to be difficult times. But here's a word that we keep hearing over and over in 1 Peter, and it's, you've been chosen. You've been called. You've been called out. Another word the Bible uses, anointed. So like when Samuel anointed David, he was chosen. Anointed means chosen. You've been chosen. You've been called out. And I'm speaking to everybody in here today, that if you're following after Jesus, whether you've been following after him for 80 years or you've been following him for 8 months or 8 weeks, you've been called by God. You've been called out of this current world, but he still wants you to live in the world, but you have a calling on your life. Similar to Erica in the fifth grade when she was called to be on the safety patrol. Anybody else in here on the safety patrol? Ken, on the safety patrol? Yeah. When you've been called to something, it emboldens you. It empowers you. It gives you authority. It's a calling. You have responsibilities, but you also have authority. And that gives you confidence when you've been called. So Erica would don the big fluorescent vest. And she was telling me she had this long stick with the flag on the end of it. And that was the powerful stick. And not only did she get to stand out there on the road, but she got to leave class 15 minutes before everybody else. And as you're walking down the hall and there's these little glass windows, you're looking in at your other friends, like, yeah, safety patrol, I'm leaving. And we didn't have a safety patrol at my school because our school was so far out in the country, nobody walked to school. It was too far out in the sticks of Buda. But Erica grew up in the hood in Austin. And y'all didn't know that. Erica's hood rat. That's basically... proud of it. I'm more like country rat. She's hood rat. But that position or that calling gave her authority. It empowered her. It emboldened her. And that's the same thing that happens to us. However, our calling is better than safety patrol. It's a calling from God. In fact, there's three different callings. I want to go through those. These are on your notes, and they'll be on your screen as well. The first is an eternal call to Christ. This is our first calling of God. It's an eternal call to salvation. God has called you to live with him forever and ever and ever and ever. It's an eternal calling of salvation. Some of you did not know this. Some of you didn't know that God's calling you. I want you to know that God likes you. He wants to be with you forever. This is a calling of God. And if you're not living in that, I want to welcome you into that today. Come on into this calling of eternal salvation with God, meaning you will be with him now, tomorrow, next year, a million years from now. He wants to be with you eternally, forever and ever. If you're not living in that calling, come on in. It's much better than living outside of this calling. Some people spend all their life trying to prove to God that they're good enough to be saved, or prove to God that they're good enough to be liked by God. You don't have to do that. You don't have to strive for that. God's calling you to live in it right now. The second is a temporary call to an assignment. So this is a season, not an eternal call, but a seasonal call, a temporary assignment. This is like the safety patrol. Erica was in it for a season. This is like me pastoring this church. This is a season for me. I wasn't a pastor when I was a kid. And someday I won't be the pastor of this church. Especially when I die, I'm not going to be the pastor of this church. It's not an eternal calling. Sometimes it feels like it is, but it's not. It's a temporary position. I'm here to tell you today that every single one of you has a temporary calling of God on your life right now. You're in a season right now. You may not be a preacher or a singer or an evangelist or a teacher or anything like that, but wherever you are is a season that God's put you in, and there's actually a calling on that season. Wherever you go, make disciples. Whoever you're talking to, make disciples. Baptize them into a new identity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A new persona. Baptize them into that. And then teach them how to obey Jesus' works and his laws and his ways. Baptize them and then teach them. Make disciples. Whether you're at school or you're just in a neighborhood or you're going across the country or you're living in a different... Wherever you are. Wherever some of you watching us online right now, wherever you are, God has put a temporary season over your life. Some of you are in retirement. That is a season of your life. Amen. That's awesome. How many of the rest of you want to be in that season right now? Yeah. Well, that doesn't mean you're not on call. You're on call right now. Our pastors here at the church have had this on-call thing where one of us is always ready to respond to emergencies and stuff. In fact, we used to have an old flip phone. We called the bat phone, and it was the on-call phone. But I want you to know that every single one of us are on-call in the season that you're in right now. But these change over time, different seasons, different places. The third one is really the one I want to focus on today. It is a daily call to a different standard. God is calling you to a different standard, and this is a daily call to go against the ways of the world, to be different, to be set apart. And this is more about who you are than what you do. A daily call from God to a different standard is more about who you are than what you do. God will call you to a who before he calls you to do anything. He calls you to a who before he calls you to a do. That's pretty good right there. You should tweet that. Look at this. This is a phrase there on your notes. When you know who you are, then you'll know what to do. Some of us get that out of order. We just want to know what to do, what not to do. That's where we get caught up in religion and legalism. Well, what do I have to do? What's the line? We were just talking about this. Eric and I went to Seattle this past week, and marijuana is legal there. Recreational, medicinal, whatever you want. Get it and go, right? Hey, it's legal. So if you always live your life by what's legal and not who you are, then your decisions are often the wrong decisions. Instead of trying to figure out just what can I do and what can't I do, you have to think about who am I? This is a message that we've been talking about all year long. We started out with a series called How to Be Made Whole. We talked about who you are and how that makes you whole, being a child of God, being accepted by God, and knowing that God's in control. That's who you are. Then we did the series Living in America, and talked about the life of Daniel, who you are, making a difference. This message in 1 Peter is the same thing. Who we are determines what we do. So as I teach my kids about what's right and what's wrong, it's more about who you are as a steel. You're Robin and Erica's kid, so as a kid, steels don't do this. That's not what we do. Instead of them thinking about, can I do this, can I do this, I want them to think about who they are. Not just kids of Robin and Erica, but kids of God. I am a child of God. And so I'm going to live a certain way because that's how the family of God lives. That's who we are. Not that this line is legal and this line is not legal and I'm going to figure out how I can get as close to this line as possible and not go over that line. No, instead of all that, who am I? At the beginning of Christianity, they had these same struggles of identity. Who am I? The secular culture thought that the first Christians were superstitious because it was all about miracles and Jesus was this great magician, and they thought that they were just very superstitious people, the Christians, because they believed in miracles and they believed in Jesus as this great wizard type figure. They also thought, some thought they were incestuous. They had, they called each other brothers and sisters, and they always went to these agape meetings every week, these love meetings. And it was just really weird, very different for them to try to wrap their heads around who are Christians, who are these people. The third thing was that they were cannibals because they ate and drank the blood of Jesus on a regular basis in communion. And so all these things were very strange to them. We don't face that as Christians in 2018. Instead, people, there's still issues though, right? We're not superstitious, incestuous cannibals, but people think that we're self-righteous, that we're judgmental, that we're intolerant, that we're bigots. And so we are in this same temptation to believe something different about ourselves. Who am I? Am I these things that everybody's saying? Peter knew that, and so in 1 Peter 2 and 9, he says this, "You are not like that." You are not like that, 1 Peter 2 and 9. "But you are not like that, for you are a," what? "A chosen people." You're called. You're a chosen people. You're chosen by God. You've been called by God. Some of you are sitting here today and you're maybe not a Christian. You're new to Promised Land. You're new to this idea of Christianity. And you're saying, how am I called? I just showed up here. I'm just here because so-and-so wanted me to show up. I'm going to get a free meal or something like that. After this, I'm going to get lunch or whatever. I'm here for my grandma, my parents or whatever. How am I chosen? I'm believing, and I truly believe this, that if you're within the sound of my voice, if you're listening to this, God has chosen you. You are not here by accident. You've been called by God. Now, you can resist that calling if you want to, and you can rebel against it and live your own life till the day you die, if you want to do that. Or you can surrender to this call. So you're a chosen people. He goes on to say, you are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. When he calls us priests, he's not just talking to me as the pastor. Robin is a priest, the rest of you are not. No, he's saying everybody in this room are priests. What are priests? Priests are people that stand in between a broken group of people and a holy God and connect the two together. That's what priests are all about. And he's saying that everybody in here, when you believe in Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and he's called you into this eternal salvation, there's also a call on your life to be a part of a priesthood of believers. You're a part of a group of priests. You're a priest. But I didn't go to seminary. But I don't know a lot about the Bible. That's not the point. That's not what he's calling you to. He's not calling you to a vocation. He's calling you to a calling. He's calling you to a who. Who are you? I'm a priest. I'm going to connect broken people to a holy God. I'm going to participate in God's movement. Look what he says in the rest of that verse 9. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wondrous light, his wonderful light. Because you've been called, you can show others the goodness of God. You can show others the goodness of God. I'll never know the people you know. I'll never be in contact with them, but you will be. So he's called you to be the priest in that situation. He's called you to be the leader in that place, to connect people. He called you out of that brokenness. He called you out of it, but he didn't take you out of it. He left you in it, but he called you out of it. Does that make sense? That means you're still in the world, but you're not of the world. It would be awesome if we just got saved and then shoo, we all disappeared out off the planet. But you know what would have happened if that would have happened? None of us would be here today. None of us would have reached out to us and lived an example for us. You would never have been invited to be a part of this if all the Christians were shot up to heaven. So he leaves us in this world to be a light in a dark place. For us to be different. Called to a calling, but left in this place. All right. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of this darkness and to his wonderful light. Paul is writing to Christians who are in the middle of persecution. They're in the middle of suffering, but he's calling them to a different standard. Let's look at verse 11. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. So what he's saying is, you've been called out, but there's not a force field around you that's going to keep out all temptation. There's still going to be temptation that comes around you that you're going to have to deal with. So be awake and be sober-minded. It says that in another part of 1 Peter. Be sober-minded. Be alert. Don't be intoxicated by the world. Be sober-minded. Be alert. This is not just like sober-minded from alcoholism or weed or anything else. Sober-minded from the ways of this world. From the flow of this world. And so what he's telling us is, you need, after you've been baptized in this new identity and you know who you are, I am a child of God. I am loved by God. Oh, this is amazing salvation experience. You fall in love with him. This is a good thing. So many of you in here have had this experience. You've been water baptized. By the way, August 12th, we're all going to San Marcos River for a big river baptism. So anybody that hasn't been water baptized, join with us on August 12th for river baptism. Okay, back to the sermon. You've had this experience with God. What he's saying is, once you've been baptized into this new identity as a believer in Jesus, you got to set up some guardrails in your life, because the devil is going to try to pull you off course and have you start believing something different than what his truth is. So be careful. Look at verse 12. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Anybody have unbelieving neighbors? Anybody have unbelieving coworkers? Anybody have unbelieving family members? Yes. Yes. Even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. What Peter is saying here is, we're not going to spend our time trying to preach or convince people of what we believe, or to make them, try to coerce them to believe like we believe. That's not what we're going to do. Instead, we're going to demonstrate. We're going to show them. When you get that big email, that group email, and you're tempted to reply all and make sure everybody knows what you think, you're about to demonstrate something. What Peter's saying is, demonstrate your faith in God. When you're about to post that thing or comment on that thing or tell somebody something at school or tell somebody, however you respond, you are demonstrating your faith in something. And so what Peter's saying is, demonstrate that you have faith that Jesus Christ is in charge of everything, that he's the ultimate judge, that you don't have to be a vigilante, you don't have to take the law into your own hands, that God is going to be the ultimate judge. If there's anybody that needs to be judged, God's going to judge them. I don't have to have that weight on me. Now, sometimes he does call us to say things and to correct people and all that, but when Jesus did that, it was mainly to the religious people. And whenever he was ostracized or criticized by people outside of the faith, he always responded in a very particular way. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:15. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. The way you live your lives should silence people if they're trying to accuse you of something. So love extravagantly. Serve selflessly. Live generously. Those are all great sermon points that I could preach on for a long time. love extravagantly, serve selflessly, live generously. Jesus said, if somebody asks you for your shirt, give them your shirt, but also give them your coat. Go beyond the first mile. Go to the second mile. 1 Peter 2:21, for God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, he is your example, and you must follow in his steps. Jesus was never defensive. He was never arrogant. He was never condescending to the unbeliever. Now, he corrected the believers. He corrected the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But those people on the outside, the Zacchaeus, that was filled with all kinds of ego and pride and arrogance. He said, I want to go have lunch with you. He welcomed them. He loved them. He demonstrated the gospel to them. He lived out the gospel in front of their life. So much so that people knew who he was. And they knew who God was just by being around Jesus. And so I want to encourage you. People are watching you. People know who you are. People are making mental notes whether they know it or not. And they're beginning to understand who God is or who God isn't by the way you act around them. And sometimes it takes years for people to come around and have that come to Jesus moment. You just keep on living faithful. You just keep on being who you are. You just keep on trusting Jesus. You keep on demonstrating who you are. Who you are, who you are, who you are. And God is going to produce growth in those people's lives. And then there'll be a day of harvest. And I was just talking to Erica this week about someone in our life who we've been investing in for years. Unbeliever. For years we've been investing in them. Just thinking, God, is anything ever going to happen in this? And just recently we got a message from somebody else. That there's starting to be a shift. It looks like it's harvest time. And maybe somebody else will participate in bringing that person to God. That's great. If that's what's going to happen. We're just going to keep on throwing seed. We're just going to keep on living. I'm using a lot of analogies here that Jesus used. But Jesus said, the way you live your life is just like throwing seed places. It's just like, you don't worry about where the seed falls. Just throw seed. Just live your life. Just respond the way Jesus responds. Don't worry about the consequences. Don't worry about the results. Just be ready. Be ready, be ready. And he's going to make the harvest happen. He's going to make growth happen. People will know. People will know who you are. By who you are, by how you respond. There was just yesterday, I got the message that from Emilio. He said, hey, I think something's going on. I just got an email from you asking me to do you a favor. I said, I didn't send you an email. Well, somebody created an email address, robinsteelr@gmail.com, and they started emailing people that I know, asking them to do me a favor. And it was very gentle at first. Hey, can you do me a favor? And then they would respond, oh, sure. You know, they picked my closest friends and people on our staff and people in our church. Hey, will you go buy my niece a $400 iTunes gift card? Well, sure. I mean, Pastor. and so then what I need you to do is I need you to take a picture of that card and then flip it over on the backside and scratch off the code and take a picture of both of those and then send it to me. And then I'm going to send it to my, say, can you do this right now? When I get out of the meeting tonight, I'll call you and we'll work out all the details, but I just need you to go buy it right now. And Emilio, before he got all those dirty details, was about to walk out. He was walking out the door. Then his mom, Irene, who's been here for a long time, been on staff with us for a long time as an administrator, said, where are you going? He said, well, Pastor Robin wants me to go to the store and buy him an iTunes gift card for his niece. She said, wait a minute. He would never ask you to do that. How does she know that? She didn't have to read the email. She didn't have to see all the bad grammar, misspell words, and all that kind of stuff. She didn't have to, you know, like research the IP address. And she just knew that's not what I do. Because she knows who I am. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't email you, and Emilio is just jumping in here recently, and he's like, I want to help Pastor. I want to, you know, if he asked me to do something, I want to do for him. You know what? And so I'm so glad your mom was there to go, no, no. And other people got it in the church, and Jacinta called me on the phone. Hey, what do you need? Oh, man. Well, since I got you on the phone, could you go give me some milk and some, I need some, yeah, some Chipotle, you know, anyway, no. When you know who somebody is, then you know what they do. You also know what they're not going to do. Just because you know who they are. So what I'm trying to tell you is the people around you know who you are. And I want to encourage you, just like Peter encouraged his first church, that you're preaching a message, you're preaching something. And I want to encourage you, trust in Jesus, and he's going to speak something out of you. And it could be, and there will be a day, when he actually wants you to speak the gospel and tell somebody the good news. That's going to come. And when that time comes, you'll be ready for that. You'll be ready for that. Look, let's close it with this one passage, and then I want us to pray together. 1 Peter 2:22. He never sinned, Jesus. He never sinned nor deceived anyone. He never sent out those emails, right? He never did that. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he was suffering. He left his case in the hand of God, who always judges fairly. If you're struggling with a situation right now, and you're nervous, you're afraid, you think that it's up to you, I want to release you from that tension right now. It's up to God. It's not up to you. And he will give you clear instructions, simple instructions, to be faithful to him and to obey him. But you don't have to wear the weight of it. He's got the weight of it. Look what verse 24 says. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. Jesus said in John, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'm going to take off the weight that you have on you right now. It's too much for you. It's too heavy for you. You weren't designed to carry this weight. I'm going to take that off of you. And then I'm going to give you a calling that's custom fit for you. I'm going to give you a cross, he says. There's going to be a cross that you will bear. It's a calling that you will bear. But it's designed for you. And I'm going to equip you to fulfill this calling that's just for you. And then trust me for all that heavy stuff that you were never designed to carry. It may be in your life still, but you don't have to bear the weight of it anymore. I'm going to bear the weight of that. You just worry about what I put in front of you today. I'm going to give you the resources to do it. You're going to trust me in it, and this is going to work out. I want to take you actually to the third chapter, verse 9. And let's look at verse 9 of chapter 3. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That's what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. Sometimes we think if we get revenge or we make them pay or whatever, that we'll get a kickback from that. We'll finally have peace if they would just agree with us, or if they would be punished, or if we think we'll have peace whenever we accomplish certain things. And what this scripture says is no, he's going to grant you a blessing that's up to God in his own way. You just love people. If you want to say it like this, just say, kill them with kindness. Let God sort out those other heavy details. Let's talk to him right now. Join with me. Let's pray to God. Let's talk to God right now. He's in our midst. He's with us. He was in every scripture I just read. He was in every song that we sang. He's speaking to some of you right now, whispering to you. Some of you have been convicted in certain places when I've been talking. That's not me. That's not your imagination. God's whispering to you, showing you places, showing you things, that places where you can trust him more. Let's respond to that voice. Let's respond to that call right now. Let's say yes to God. Let's say yes to the calling. And first, let's say yes to the eternal call of God. If you're in here today and you're not walking with Jesus right now, you're not living a life that's submitted to Jesus, let's say yes to that eternal call right now. You can just say, yes, Lord, I follow you. Yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you. From this day forward, Jesus, I want to walk with you. There's things in our life that separate us from God. The Bible calls that sin. And if you know about some sin, or maybe you don't even know about it, you don't even recognize it. There's things in our heart that keep us from a relationship with God. Let's hand those over to him right now. Just say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Jesus, I trust that you did everything necessary for me to have salvation. I believe in you, Jesus. I pray that you would forgive me, Jesus, of anything in my life. Please forgive me, Jesus, of anything in my life that's not of you, Lord. I lay it in your hands today, and I trust you, Jesus. Let's just tell him that. Lord, I trust you. I believe in you, Jesus. I trust you as my Savior, Jesus. I look to you, Jesus, as my Savior. Fill me, Lord, with your Spirit. Fill me, God. Fill me from the inside out, from the top to the bottom. From side to side, fill me, Lord, with your presence and your Spirit. I'm trusting you, and I'm believing in you, God. Some of you need to say yes to that temporary call or that daily call to a different life. If you're struggling in a temporary place that you're in right now, let's just say, Lord, I surrender to whatever you've got for me. Whatever assignment you've got for me, Lord, I surrender to that assignment in Jesus' name. Lord, I surrender. Maybe there's some of you in here that are having a difficulty with the daily call to a new you. Lord, we surrender to our daily call, to our temporary call, to our eternal call. Lord, we hand it all over to you, Lord, and believe and trust that we'll really step into that office of priesthood. Even though I never thought I would say that about myself or believe that about myself, God, if you're saying it, if you want me to be in the priesthood, Lord, I'll jump in with everything I got. In Jesus' name. Why don't we all just say, in Jesus' name. Say that with me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen means so be it. So be it. Amen. In the name of Jesus.